My takeaway comes from Napoleon Hill and being the chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute. It's amazing how relevant Napoleon Hill is today, almost 100 years later. And this one is a takeaway that I remind myself every day. And it's, your reputation is made by others, but your character is made by you. And may there always be a difference between the two. And so, so many times, I love Wayne Dyer saying, right, what other people think of you is none of your business. Think there's groups of people when it comes to reputation, those who think too highly of you, those that are learning about you, and those that think too lowly of you. And your character and what you find outside of you can only be that which you seek inside of you. And the character is what we seek, our values that are illustrated by the daily practices that we have and how we execute in a consistent, persistent manner on those daily behaviors. Good behaviors are based off of good values and good character aligned in your divine direction, and bad behavior based off of bad character and is interfering with your divine direction. Remember, there's no morality in the subconscious. It's simply the direction and divinity within which trajectory you want to be in. And so it's subjective in its nature as well to remember, though, that our reputation is made by others and our character is made by you. And you can tell which one you have control over and which one means the most in this world of relativity and time. All right, Nick of Guam, I'm going to pass it back to you. And why don't you give me either an Ask Me Anything question or a takeaway of the month?
Absolutely. I got a quick takeaway for you, and it's something that I've learned from you. And this applies both personally as well as professionally. But for me, my takeaway of the month is the simple things to do are just as simple not to do. And, you know, especially for me, as I continue to go through with a fine-tooth comb what is my own personal habit machine, as I try to develop the WOM that I am a little bit further, but also when it comes to professional, right? Whether it's following up with partners and sponsors, no matter what it is, it could be the most simple thing in the entire world, but the consistent practice, and, you know, even if it's engaging on threads every single day as an example. Right? They're very simple to do, but they're also simple not to do. And it's the aggregate of that positive that you have to put in the work to get the results that you want. So that was my biggest takeaway of the month. And now let's turn it over to our incredible community so we can not only learn what they're listening for, but the secrets and the lessons that are revealing themselves.
Can I give you a quick commentary on that idea? Because I think it is easily looked over when you talk about the simple things to do or simple not to do. And I use gratitude as the greatest example of that, because gratitude is the most simple thing to do. To say thank you is so simple. It takes 0.1 seconds and it's free. The funnier thing about gratitude is that everyone on earth agrees that if you say thank you, your life will change for the better. You say it before you go to bed, you say it when you wake up, if you say it when others do nice things for you, if you say it before nice things and after nice things, it will have the most impact of anything that you do. And yet, by tonight, half of us won't say thank you. By tomorrow morning, another half of us won't say thank you. And within 3 days, almost all of us will not say thank you. Even though there is more thought leaders, athletes, celebrities, billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs who will live and die by gratitude. And yet, being something so simple, it takes 0.1 seconds and it's free. How is it that you and everyone else and me don't say thank you all the time with the power that it holds? That is the best example of why you should have a list of simple things, a list of simple things that you double down on every day as a non-negotiable. The simple things that are most important, like sleep and breathing and eating and drinking and movement, These are simple things, but if we're not intentional about sleeping, breathing, eating, drinking, and movement, we're losing out exponentially on that exponential impact, the same as if you don't say thank you. And so I want to reiterate the takeaway, as I am annoying to those around me about the simple things. And believe me, it is annoying to people to be honest and point out and hold accountable, elevating awareness to the simple things that aren't being done. Think about how annoying it must be to be married to me if I'm pointing out the simple things. Imagine being married to me and hearing me say, "You mean thank you?" or "Please?" And repetitive, right? So repetitive to be that way. And so, you know, to that measure, I want to make sure that everybody today takes that takeaway of Nick's and doubles down on everything simple, from gratitude to saying please to breathing, sleeping, eating, drinking, and movement, to exponentially impact your life and many other people's lives as well.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for the further articulation and explanation. And now let's turn it over to our incredible community to learn not only what they're listening for, but their secrets, subtleties, and lessons that have revealed themselves over the last month. And I would love to get started by passing it over to the lovely Colleen. Colleen, it's always great to see you here. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and kick us off.
Thank you so much. Happy Friday, everybody. Love these sessions. I have both a takeaway and a question. I hope that's okay.
Of course, you take as much as you want, Colleen.
Okay. All right. So my takeaway from this month is perspective is power. The way that you interpret your circumstances really often, is more important than the circumstances themselves. So in understanding, how to shift your perspective and, work through these kind of paradigm shifts, do you believe a paradigm shift is something that you decide on, or is it something that you feel like the universe presents to you?
Well, I think it can be both. The universe is constantly presenting things to us as we clear interference between us and that which is presentable, the infinite amount of information that is there. So I think it's a matter of, one, taking through our intuition, our intelligence, our awareness, our inspiration, and then making a conscious, intentional choice on what meaning we're going to give it and what activities or intention of what we're going to do, say, think, and feel, and believe about it. So I think to start, it's the awareness from that which we are now clearing, and then two, the intentionality, the definiteness of purpose in order to facilitate what we're going to do, say, think, feel, and believe about it. A paradigm shift is a matter of time and relativity. A paradigm shift is taking away the basis of what we believe, in the fact that what we believe is based off of the meaning we give the past. And so if we can change the meaning of the past, we can shift our paradigm. The biggest paradigm shift that I help people with, and working with people, is the difference is I want more, I'll be happy when, all of these attachments of emotions and intention to an outcome, instead of truly understanding the infinite nature of information, energy, inspiration, intuition, and intelligence that exists, and how do I interfere with it? So I am blank. What am I doing to interfere with it? Right? It's done. What am I doing to interfere with it? And a lot of people waver back and forth as they work through the meaning of their own past, the limitations of their own imagination, the limitations of their own self-image, in order to clear the interference between, or shorten the distance of resistance between them and what already exists. But if we're not aware of what it is, via our intelligence, our intuition, our inspiration, then we're going to have a real difficult time shifting a paradigm and giving it our past a new meaning. Does that sound fair?
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you. All right. Nick of Guam, time flies when you're having fun. We're already in the second quarter of this ball game. Just having a lot of fun. By the way, we were invited to the opening game of the NCAA season, Ohio State versus Texas, where we have great relationships with both teams. So you and I have something to discuss on which locker room we're going to be in for that game. The hypocrisy of fanship will come about immediately. So I'm super excited about the opener for college football, Ohio State versus Texas. Anyways, Wammer, it's the second quarter. What do we have by takeaway or ask me anything?
Absolutely. We have a lovely friend and surprise for you, David. And we got the lovely Rebecca Whitman, who's joining us. I know it's been a little while. So, Rebecca, it's great to see you. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away this morning. Welcome.
Hi, David. Hi, Nick. It's great to be here. I'm so excited. I have a takeaway and a question.
Awesome.
My takeaway is to stay calm during the negotiation and to not let the fact that they keep asking for stuff get the best of you and take it personally, to detach. And my question is, I'm hosting this incredible luxury wellness at this gorgeous resort in Mexico, and I'm meeting all these ladies who are new friends, because as you know, I just moved to Cincinnati, and they all say they want to go, but then they don't take action and like actually open their wallet and enroll. So I wanted to get your advice on how to bridge the gap between, yes, oh my God, I totally want to go, that sounds amazing, give me the dates, and then actually signing up.
Yeah, look, it's so nice to speak with you, and I was blessed to speak with Ben yesterday, and welcome back to Southern California for a couple of days, which will gain a great appreciation for Ohio in appreciating the differences between Los Angeles and Cincinnati. So understanding a few things that are relative to your takeaway and your question, there is a disconnect in this idea, this scarcity of negotiation. I believe that it's a matter of value, and that value is derived by giving people three things: more of what they like or taking away what they don't like, more of what's working for them or taking away what's not working, and then more of what they know or taking away what they don't know. And your ability to articulate that value to exceed what you're asking for will determine how many people take that interest or excitement of a good idea and then quantify it by paying for it. In both of the takeaway and the question of this, you know, negotiation that occurs, I believe it's a matter of learning and being more interested in what it is they like, don't like, working, not working, what they know and what they don't know, and practicing articulating that value in consideration of the uncertainty and circumstances that exist according to time, emotion, and value. And so the only methodology and modality that I have found, both in the takeaway and the ask me anything, is to ask open-ended questions about the value. And within the context of rehearsing and practicing the articulation of that value with comfort and confidence will increase the statistical success. But you have to have enough people that you can accommodate the fact that time, emotion, and value will change even after the articulation of value to exceed what you're asking for. And so creating mechanisms that allow people to, one, change their mind, or to cancel. The best way to manage and develop that expectation from the time that people say, yes, I want to do this, and stop them from either renegotiating, negotiating, or changing their mind, is to create a go, no-go plan at the time that you did, or the time in which there was a commitment or an agreement, whether it's verbal, written, with consideration, which means with money, implied even. When people come to an agreement or decision, immediately after that agreement and decision, time, emotion, and value changes. And what I have found from the alignment of the fact that I'm going to give you permission to change your mind according to the circumstances that exist within the context of the instant after you make a decision or an agreement with me. That's why we have, for example, the overlap agreement that we have created, which is a modern day handshake. It's simply a memorialization of the articulation of value for each other, that which I've offered to you and that which you have agreed to receive and vice versa, according to the circumstances at that moment. How do we transcend that moment into an uncertain future of time, emotion, and value, which will constantly change? The only way I know how to do so is to have things like the overlap agreement that says, hey, we agree on we want to help each other. And here's right now how we think we can help each other. You're going to give me this much money. You're going to come to Mexico. I'm going to do this for you in Mexico, change your life, and we're both going to win. So the only way that I have found to increase the statistical success is to, one, be transparent about the fact and acknowledge the fact that time, emotion, and value are going to change the instant after this decision or this agreement. And it's codified by a non-binding agreement, which isn't going to create any litigation or any bad feelings or need to be offended or need to be right or separation, superiority, anger, frustration, guilt, or resentment, or worry. It's simply just going to memorialize, hey, at this time, we agree on this and we are open to change. But here's what we agree upon. I'm going to give you the information, the credit card link, this, you're going to show up here. If you just list it out in a simple email and put dates to it, now you can institute the three no rule, which is the best way to align time, emotion, and value, which says, okay, you told me to check back with you on Friday. It is Friday at 6:23, the time that you told me to check back with you. If you don't answer, you blow me off, you come up with some bullshit excuse, that's one no. I then don't waste time thinking about when should I call them back? I'm going to bother them. Should it be 1 day, 2 days, 2 months? I don't want to offend them, but that's bullshit. If somebody tells you to call them at 6:23 and they don't answer or they blow you off and don't give you another time, then call them back the next day and say, hey, you told me to call you at 6:23 yesterday. It's 9 a.m. today. I just wanted to follow up and make sure we're still aligned that you'd like to attend the Mexico event that I have, et cetera. Even though they're new friends, even though you're there, it's right there in an email or some sort of codification of we've come to at least an agreement, a go, no go plan. And you're going to have to, because I've given you permission, tell me, one, yes, I want to move forward. Yes, I can't see there's any reason I don't want to move forward. Or two, I've changed my mind and here's how I'd like to move forward or not move forward. But on the third time, which would be for me either at 5 o'clock the second day or 9 a.m. the third day, on the third time, if they don't answer or give you a bullshit answer or push you off to a later date, I always simply say, this is obviously not the right time. When it is, let me know. And by doing so, you now have relieved the situation of all its anxiety. On the three no rule, you now have either accelerated somebody that is going to say yes or given permission to somebody to say no, and you have ended the torture of following up and chasing someone forever and ever and ruining that relationship by chasing them because they feel bad. They didn't do what they said they were going to do, and you have relieved the situation. And so using a go, no go plan, utilizing the three no rule in order to implement a codification of the fact that the immediacy after a decision or agreement is made, people are allowed to change their mind according to time, emotion, and value, is the most statistically inefficient way, with the practice of articulating value to exceed what you're asking for, to get an agreement and execute upon that agreement or that decision. I'm more than happy to send everyone the exercise and guide on this and the overlap agreement, because it's a great way, an example of the go-no-go plan. Three no rule, all of these things will change your life, I guarantee it. Just email me, David@dmeltzer.com, with the open-ended question guide, the overlap agreement, the three no rule, the go, no go plan, all of it facilitating and coordinating and reconciling a greater statistical success in everything you do, relieving the situation of the known but unspoken fact that time, emotion, and value is changing immediately after a decision or agreement, relieve the situation of that tension, the scarcity of negotiation, facilitate the alignment of value of what they like, don't like, working, not working, know or don't know. And I promise you, you'll make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. Rebecca, does that sound fair?
Yes, it sounds very fair. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the advice and so much wisdom there. Thank you.
You got it. Send my love to Ben. Thank you. Enjoy.
Hi, David.
Hey, buddy. Ben Press is a hero, man, a legend, and one of my best friends. Someday he will be a senator, a congressman, or even a president. And I told him once he gets to that level, I am going to absolutely be his PR guy. So,
see you at the inauguration, David.
All right, brother. Congrats. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, guys. That's beautiful. All right. Nick of Guam. We are almost at halftime. It's not the Ohio State-Texas game, which we'll be at, but it is Clubhouse. We've been doing Friday trainings for over 26 years. By the way, October will be 27 years. For me, August 31st will be 28 years of being married. So my wife has been a part of my Friday trainings for all of our marriage, and she's always been pleased. She liked it better when it was at noon and it was people flying in and doing it in person at lunch, so she didn't have to participate as much, considering I usually do this at home since it's so early here in Southern California or in the middle of the night as I travel. Regardless, Wammer, that means well-oiled machine. Who has the next takeaway and ask me anything?
Absolutely. We're going to kick it over to a very special M&M, which is Marissa Meltzer. Marissa, always good to see you here. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask / share away.
All right. Perfect. Happy Friday. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Well, I am back in Nashville, which we were actually here at the end of last month doing a firewalk. And so I took what I learned from that and set that as my intention this month. And so that being said, my intention this month was, I feel like we always talk about this, like I am the biggest people pleaser. So that being said, like I took this month to make decisions for me. And my takeaway is that it's okay to choose you sometimes. And that when you do, like you notice that you're actually more present and there for other people when that happens.
I'm going to cry, not just from the takeaway, but the fact that you're my daughter with that takeaway. And I know many others that I've surrounded myself with are beautiful, kind, generous people, genetically and energetically inheriting that from my mom, of being a pleaser, of giving more and receiving less. And that is a zero-sum game, one in which I lived with for many years, giving more and receiving less, which ended up in zero, by the way, just as it did for so many other people around me, the first responders and the teachers and the veterans and all of the kindest and most generous people that I know, giving more and receiving less. Until we institute the ideas, we can't give what we don't have. So we have to extend the idea of the more we give, the more we receive, into the more we give, the more we're given. And elevating our awareness to all that we're given by seeing things in humility of not being punished, but being protected, promoted, loved, and perfected. And seeking through, ironically, the simple things like gratitude and forgiveness, all that we're given, finding the light, the love, and the lessons when there's no evidence and the evidence is contrary to where we want to be. Keep on looking and seeking what we're given in all situations, events, circumstances, and people we surround ourselves with or attract into our lives. But after we are aware of, as previously stated in the training, all that we're given, we have to then understand we can't give what we don't have, and therefore we need to receive it. And most of us, including me and you, Marissa, inherited genetically and energetically from my mom especially, is we have to be able to receive. We have to put ourselves first, knowing that we can't give what we don't have more than the more we give, the more we receive. which is absolutely true if you follow the infinite loop in which I'm discussing. And so as we elevate our worthiness of receiving, we can even extend it to the more than enough attitude, the abundant, infinite, unified belief, faith that there's more than enough of everything for everyone, and therefore even extend and amplify it further by asking for more after we've received. So the infinite loop in which you're living and learning that has provided you this ability to be more present, which means to be more aware, which makes things easy by dissipating, dissolving, and diminishing the dis-easy that exists, the interference between you and your potential. You now live in this loop of giving more, being given more, receiving more, and then asking for more than more, so you can give more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more, and ask for more than more than more. So instead of ending up like I did in 2008, or your grandma did when she passed, in the zero-sum game with nothing, bankrupt, you're going to end up with more than enough of everything for everyone, like me, making a lot of money, helping a lot of people, and having a lot of fun. You can't give what you don't have. You got to take care of yourself first. So make sure you have non-negotiables that are relative to your ability to give, which is based on your ability to observe what you're given, to receive and ask for more. What a blessing it is to have you as my daughter. What a blessing it is to have you participate with us and elevate through humility, the vulnerability and transparency that most 26-year-olds will not do, which makes me tell you the three things I tell you every day. Marissa Meltzer, I love you. I'm proud of you, and I always have your back.
I love you. Thank you.
I love you. All right. See, you can overlap your activities and have special moments on Clubhouse and on your Friday trainings too. Make sure you're telling your kids every day that you love them, you're proud of them, and you always have their back. It'll make a difference, I promise you. Make sure you're telling your parents that you're happy, healthy, love, and appreciate them. I promise you it'll make a difference. I do both every day. Still texting my mom, even though she's not here. I keep her phone and on my plan, so I can text her every day. I figure she's now actually getting it. Nick of Guam, I hope you reach out to your mom every day because I know she's a very special lady. And as a 57-year-old mama boy, I encourage all, especially sons, to reach out to their moms every day and let them know I'm happy, I'm healthy, I love you, and appreciate you. Let's get to the next question.
Absolutely. And you know better than anybody I follow that methodology. And it's something I've learned from you and has definitely had nothing but the greatest impact on me and my relationship with my mother. But doing a quick reset of the room here for everybody, of course, we just passed halftime, so we are in the third quarter of this Free Friday training session, which David has been doing for a little over 26 years. It'll be 27 years this fall. And as we do a reset of the room here, today's topic is takeaway of the month and ask me anything. So if you have a takeaway that you would like to share or a question for David today, of course, if you're joining us online, please make sure to put your information in the chat. And if you are joining us here live on Clubhouse, if you're in the audience, please use the hand icon to request to join the stage, and we will bring you up. And of course, if you're already on stage, just put a quick note in the room chat, and I will pass the mic over your way. Next up, live here on Clubhouse, we have Trisha, who has been patiently waiting and even helping suggest and guide some of our community members here in terms of how to get up on stage. So we very much appreciate the additional support. But Trisha, happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and either ask or share away.
Hey, Nick, thank you so much. I was just trying to guide people, but takeaway always is that David is consistent. And I appreciate you, David, that you always share about your mom. I am a 57-year-old daughter of two parents that are still with me, blessed and lucky to be there. And I took from CreativeCon your suggestion to tell them that I am happy, healthy, and that I love and appreciate them every day. I want to thank you for that. That's my takeaway that I get from you all the time, and I just wanted to share that. So thank you. It has made a big, big difference because they were forever calling me, asking me to come and take care of things for them. And now that I do that, I don't get those calls as often, but we still get to share very special moments together. So I just want to thank you for that takeaway.
It is one of my favorite takeaways as well. And I use a screen door example as what was the catalyst for me to start to tell my mom every day, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I love you and appreciate you, is I couldn't understand why she was calling me to drive down an hour to fix a screen door on her house when I'm not that handy and I can afford to pay someone to fix the screen door. And I realized the only reason she wanted me to do that was she wanted to know that I was happy, I was healthy, that I loved her and appreciated her. And once I told her every day, been annoying about it ever since, she stopped it as well. And now the request that I had gotten had always been more relevant and understandable than just being able to prove to her those four things. I will add to that takeaway, telling our children that we are proud of them, we love them, and we always have them back. The three things my dad never told me, and I wish he did, to give me that security that I could do anything that I wanted to do. And so remember, remind, and recollect those three things as well. What a beautiful sentiment. I'm glad that is a takeaway for someone because it does mean a lot to me as well. All right, Nick, you want to take a question online? We have more people lined up on Clubhouse. What do you want to do?
Nothing draws a question like a question. The chat is blowing up with requests, of course, now. And I got Hatul, who is next up here on deck, for his takeaway or question. So, Hatul, feel free to unmute yourself as we continue to carry us forward. We appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you, Nick. Just first of all, props to you. I see you flourishing. No coincidence there. So I'll just dive right in. So my takeaway is to elevate my awareness to low frequency feelings that don't serve me. Anyone in our private networking group might have caught that. And David, I'm here restating it here in this space. I don't think I need to apologize for something I found really valuable. Thank you, my friend.
Ah, thank you so much. And you consistently show up as well. I find it really interesting how many people talk about showing up but don't. And whether it's, to the trick, we have over 120,000 people that are registered for this training. And it's so interesting, the percentage of people that show up and then the percentage of people that watch the replay, then the percentage of people that do nothing. There's a ton of empty milers out there, Hatul. Ton of extra milers out there. They go the extra mile every once in a while, and then they use that to justify why they are not where they want to be. I suggest, encourage other people to be what I call empty milers. Do less every day, not more one time a week, and the results will be exponential. Don't be an extra miler. Don't justify why you're not where you are. Lower the bar. Do less every day, and more will get done. Thank you so much, my friend. You are a blessing to all that gets to experience you, and you have such a great energy, a calming force in the universe. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm emotional. Thank you, David. God bless.
Bless you, brother. All right, Nick, we have so many great friends in our neighborhood, so many people that think too highly of us, and some that think too lowly of us, like my wife, who absolutely, Nick, does not like our Well-Oiled Machine podcast, which is to me the fastest growing podcast that I do, the Well-Oiled Machine. It's like the analogy is if you're into time, if you're into efficiency, if you're into the student calendar, if you're into productivity, accessibility, and gratitude, you're going to love the Well-Oiled Machine. But if you're retired like my wife, who does not have a anal retentive bone in her body, an OCD backbone like the sick husband that she's married to, I don't think you're gonna enjoy the Well-Oiled Machine. But it's like I don't know if you've seen, you're young, Nick, on YouTube, one of the biggest YouTube channels was like this person that opened toys, and it was like the dumbest thing I've ever seen, still to this day, like, or Dr. Pimple Popper. like she has her own TV show. And I'm like, that's the most disgusting thing. I know that my wife either sees our podcast, The Mulloway Machine, as Dr. Pimple Popper or the opening of toys or watching paint dry. But there's a big audience out there, as I have found, that really want to learn the intricacies, the subtleties of success, the student of the calendar, the efficiencies, effectiveness, statistical success by analyzing either our day or their day. And since you travel almost every day that I travel, almost 200 days a year, or sorry, over 200 days a year, you rarely miss some trips. We have some supplementary people traveling with us, like Mikey and Colleen and Marissa and Cooper and Justin and, you know, the whole crew. Sometimes even Gigi flies in from Europe. But it is the backbone and the frequency that I love. I just want to point that out. If any of you OCD, anal retentive, time freaks, you're going to love the Mulloway Machine. If you are not, you may not like it, or you may find it to be like Dr. Pimple Popper or the paint drying or the opening of toys on YouTube. Anyway, I had to give a quick plug for that, Nick.
First off, I'm just grinning ear to ear because we are cut from the same cloth in terms of our OCD and anal retentive bones in our body, which is obviously reflected in the content. But please, ladies and gentlemen, if that is something that you are either interested in to be bored, or if you're interested in because that's what jazzes you up, please come and join us once a week, every single Tuesday. We're getting pen in the can, and then we'll be posting them, of course, on the on Spotify and Apple. But for right now, we're just live on socials. So make sure to tune in to the Well-Oiled Machine podcast, coming back with episode 6 this upcoming Tuesday. But not to steer too far away from our course, let's get back on track here, as we have so many friends that are ready to share their takeaways or their questions. I got Chima here live on Clubhouse up next. So Chima, my friend, happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
Hey, hi, Nick. Hi, David. Today's my birthday, so I'm celebrating.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, for me, I took away something about the three no's. Because I couldn't articulate how it works, but I had something happened that validated it. So science, it's amazing what happens when you close off like that, and then somebody comes back afterwards and then validates you. So that was all I wanted to say. That was it was nice to get, and I just remembered you when you said it today.
I love it. Yeah, the three no rule changes my life, and I utilize it in the prospecting where people get lost chasing down people that are never going to say yes, and two, utilizing it after I share a vision, articulate a quantitative value, exceed what I'm asking for, having the go, no-go plan as a predisposition to the three no rule. But even greater than when someone accelerates their yes because of the three no rule is the amount of time, emotion, and value that you get back by not chasing someone that's not going to say yes, by giving permission to that person to change their mind and say no. And so there's a duplicative value of accelerating those people to say yes, but also saving you the time, especially today where the total addressable community is unfathomably big. You don't want to chase people that are never going to say yes. You don't have to specify, you know, this exact avatar of who's going to buy from you, because your goal is our goal of building our community. And that's why we built our community that Chima and many other people in here are part of, that want to buy from each other and sell for each other, that want to help each other and know people that help each other. We're consistently trying to get to, would it help you if, or do you know anyone that can help me? Those are the two missions of commission that we have of, would this help you, or do you know someone that can help me? Would this help you? Can you see any reason this wouldn't help you? And do you know anyone that could help me? And when you understand that paradigm shift, as Colleen suggested earlier, of being able to utilize a philosophy that it already exists, we just have to figure out what we're doing to interfere with it. Every single problem, struggle, setback, failure, mistake, it's just the last lapse of time before we give it the meaning that helps us, protects us, promotes us, loves us, perfects us, indicates to us where to be, a better place, a better position, a better event, a better person. And so there's a lot held within the three no rule that helps not only in the prospecting of utilization of efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success, but even more in the course of managing and develop a vision with a go, no-go plan and the three no rule. And I, once again, I know people are emailing me right now. If you don't have the open-ended question guide, if you don't have the three no rule, if you don't have the go, no go plan, I'll extend it to everybody. Just email me. These are templates, exercises, and guides that will change your life and change your pocketbook, and which will change your life. If your mission is to facilitate a community of people that want to help each other and know people who help each other, the commissions will follow, because there's nothing that brings more commissions than a neighborhood of people that buy from you and sell for you for life. I guarantee it. No better utilization of time than the three no rule. Reach out to me, David@dmeltzer.com. David@dmeltzer.com. I'll be happy to send it to you. All right, Wammer, we are in the fourth quarter. Hold up your four things, those little fingers of yours, and those little stubby little sausages, the beef jerkies they have. I just also want to review real quickly San Diego next week before the 4th of July, holding court, interviews, and of course the meetups. Will be right there in South Mission Beach. Secondly, we then will be going to San Antonio for the Aspire Tour. Meetup, holding court, interviews, VIP dinners and lunches there in San Antonio. Hurrying back to Vegas, where we're with the PAC. The NBA, will be with the NBA in the SiriusXM studios, interviews, meetups, holding courts, and a special cocktail and after party with Marshall Faulk and many others and the NBA stars. Then we will be moving on up back to SiriusXM Content Mastermind with the Who's Who in LA. Spend the day at SiriusXM. Get your content distributed, modified, perpetuated with the biggest digital radio station in the world, and VIP dinner there. And that's just here in the next couple weeks. So please, if you're going to be around San Diego, San Antonio, Las Vegas, or LA, come and join us, David@dmeltzer.com. All right, Nick Abwam, my lucky number 11. That's how many minutes we got left.
Let's rock and roll. We got Mike, who is up here next on Clubhouse to share his takeaway or to ask a question. Mike, the floor and the mic is yours, my friend.
Beautiful. Good morning, fellas. How are we doing? Hear me okay?
Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom. All right. Beautiful. my takeaway this month is small adjustments create massive alignment. And a few moments this month where when really focusing on that purpose and intention, seeing that compound a lot faster than trying to hustle without any type of clarity. So it's been a really eye-opening experience for me, getting much more tactical in what I do rather than trying to focus on volume and quick wins.
Yeah, and I think inherent in that, Mike, of small things, slow things bring big results all of a sudden if you're consistent and persistent. And one of the things I know about you is the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential, the way that you do things, and not being an extra miler from when I met you, but now evolving into this unbelievable empty miler. Just a marathon runner of great activities. And it's the small things and the slow things that cause things to happen all of a sudden in a big way. What a great takeaway. Please, everybody, let's all be empty milers. And I promise you will have the exponentiality of outcomes and the ease, not the dis-ease, in that pursuit of that potential. Thank you. Thank you, Mike, so much for everything you do. We have, gosh, unbelievable growth and unbelievable activity and opportunity, options and touches of favor because of great leaders like Mike Allen. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate the day. Thank you so much.
You got it, brother. Congrats. All right.
Next up, we have the lovely Jody here on stage, who's been patiently waiting. So, Jody, happy Friday. Good to see you as always. Feel free to unmute yourself and share or ask away.
Hi. So, great to see you here, both of you. I had a huge takeaway, really huge. And, David, you were a big part of that. Most people don't know because I don't discuss it. I'm going through a divorce. What I learned was I was settling for less and surrounding myself with those that were diminishing and dismissing my light. And David, thank you for having me on the, I'm going to be emotional. Sorry, community. Thank you for having me on the Instagram. Do you think you're seeing me and witnessing what I'm doing and how I want to serve the world? And that same day, I went to a large meeting and I was asked to, you know, kind of just talk a moment about myself, and I did. And I already scheduled one client, and I have 9 other people that want to do business with me. And what I realized, the takeaway was, I'm stuck in a, I was in the past, stuck in a circle of dismissive people who were blinded by my light. And now I'm surrounded by people who are bringing their light, and they shine just as bright. They have just something else to shine, right? And it's, anyways, the thing is, I decided to step out of the circle of dismissive people. And I didn't have to keep my light down because you guys are all shining. That's why I joined in at the beginning of this year, because your light was so bright. And I really wanted people who were willing to shine their light. And then as a result, now I'm attracting all the people that shine their light, and they're not bothered by my light. So I want to thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And we're blessed to be around so many people of the same frequency, joining our neighborhood, understanding it. And like I said, it's not for everyone. We get people who are dismissive of our mission of empowering over 1 billion people to be happy, and all types of different attacks on that mission of what they believe. I can't help them see something outside of them that doesn't exist inside of them. And I try not to waste too much time in, as Wayne Dyer says, worrying about other people's opinion, the great energy gap of this is what people think, or this is what I think they think, and this is what I want them to think. Who gives a shit? This is who I am. What am I doing to interfere with it is where I play. And if you want to play with us every single day in the world of I am, this is who I am, and you need help or assistance or motivation, inspiration, intuition, intelligence, if you need something to help you identify what you're doing to interfere with it and teach you how to shorten that distance of resistance, I have a great place for you to play. Come play with us every single day in that place of awareness of what we're doing to interfere with our greatness, our potential, our light, as you suggest, Jody. You're a blessing to have in our neighborhood, and it's so nice when people come on, even simple things like IG, and are just amazed by how many people want to do business and will help and know people that can help. So very common occurrence for us, and we appreciate the acknowledgement. It keeps us going as well, and it certainly keeps me going. God bless you, and we will see you soon. We got 5 minutes left. Nick Abuam.
God bless you, David. God bless you.
Thank you. Love you too. Oh. Made my day. How blessed am I? This is amazing. People ask me, why the hell would you do this? That is why. It's that simple. You got to witness it, and that's why we do what we do. That's why I do what I do. So when people laugh at me, scoff at me, and make fun of me, I know eventually they'll applaud me. That's the way it works. Always have since I was a below average college football player, and people laughed at me, scoffed at me, and made fun of me, and eventually applauded me as well. Same thing with my bankruptcy. Anyways, I appreciate everybody out there. Wammer, 5 minutes. What do we got, Dougie Fresh?
Oh, yeah. We got Cooper up next here live on Clubhouse. Cooper, all the way from Spain. How are we, my friend? It's great to see you. And please guide us with your question or takeaway.
Man, oh, man. Thank you for the intro, Nick. Happy Friday, guys. My takeaway for this month is that idea of I must be what I can be. You know, David, I know you mentioned often just that idea that there's one similarity between successful people, and it's that they have this, you know, idea that they must be what they can be. And so I think for me, just really giving meaning to, you know, that consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential, and more importantly, understanding what I'm doing to interfere with it.
I love that. Hola, ¿qué pasa? ¿Por qué no comes la comida, amigo? Tengo un buen día en España. Muy bien. Yes, it is a common denominator between all billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, entertainers, all the people in our neighborhood, our network. There is only one common denominator besides the 24 hours that we get every single day to live and to utilize in alignment with our divine direction, to make all detours divine and utilize that 24 hours incrementally within the context of when our heart starts till it stops. But the common denominator within the context of the delta between the skills and the knowledge and our potential, the desire, that delta must be there. And it is only fueled by our desire to create that delta, that change, that desire to be what we must be, to understand the limits that we're putting, the meaning that we're putting, the relativity that we were putting on our own self-image, knowing we will never overachieve our own self-image. So if you are discounting the value of your desire to be what you must be, then you're missing out. It is the common denominator to assess, used within the context of the 24 hours that you're blessed every day to utilize. Inactivity. Activity, planned, unplanned, negotiable, non-negotiable, paid for, unpaid for, and even your sleep. All of those activities will be utilized in that divine direction to be protected, promoted, loved, and protected by the divine detours and creating the productivity, accessibility, and gratitude with the 24 hours, the divine time that we're given every single day, except for the last day of our life. Holy la moly, all the way from Spain, Cooper, the super incredible young man. He's, look at him, he's learning, Nick. He's one of Nick's proteges, by the way, Cooper, if you were wondering, and Nick's been mentoring him. Very good, Nick. I see that you're making progress, not perfection, but progress. Tienes un persona más. What do you got?
We got about, let me see two. Here, who is next up on Clubhouse? Why don't we go ahead and close things out with a question on the line here.
All right.
Let me see here.
There's lots of them.
I was going to say there's one from.
What tools do you? Yeah, how about what tools do you use when life throws you curveballs, difficulties, in order to stay dialed in and consistent? Look, what I use is the understanding to identify the clues, the patterns to make better choices. And it's all indicated by the reaction to fear. I stopped using tools that dealt with fear and started using tools that dealt with my reaction to fear and identifying the reaction to fear. And those tools that I use are ones in which I learned when I was young, when my mom told me, when you're on fire, you got to stop, drop, and roll. So when my mind, body, and soul are on fire by the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, worried, all the duplicates and the negatives in my life that not only create interference and resistance between me and where I want to be, but also they attract them as well. So when I worry, it's a duplicate of negative. It's interfering with where I want to be, and it's praying for what I don't want, don't need, what other people want, whatever it is that's worrying me. So the tools that I use in order to hit the ball out of the park when it's a curveball, to change the meaning and relativity of the setbacks, failures, mistakes, to change all of that into protection, promotion, love, and perfection. It's simply, when my mind, body, and soul are on fire, you got to stop, breathe through your nose, out through your mouth, and drop, remind, remember, and recollect with your source, the infinite, abundant, unified system that we belong to, and roll back into the divine, divine direction, the divine detours, and divine time. Thank you, everyone. We appreciate your patience. We've been doing this a long time. I want to thank the Napoleon Hill Institute. As chairman of the Institute, I would love to thank everybody to come and join us, david@dmeltzer.com. If you're not part of our community, text me on our text invitation service. If you'd like to be invited, not obligated, 949-298-2905, 949-298-2905. If you are obligated, don't text me, 949-298-2905. Remember, most importantly, every day, not just Fridays, to be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds.